heard from the locker room. Now it's time to get your take on the game. Call or text 306-936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on 620 CKRM. Now, here's Daniela Ponticelli.
Welcome inside the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Daniela Ponticelli with you alongside Wes Cates, the Professor Don Hewitt. We are back and we are so ready to dive into this preseason game. It ended up delivering a little bit of offensive drama towards the end anyhow for your Rough Riders. And of course, the crowd that was there at Mosaic may have been small, but it sure was mighty. Could hear the roar of the crowd quite beautifully. And those pesky Bombers fans in the front. Nah, I'm just kidding. The three of you were great. Lots of fun to have there hosting our Prairie rivals. Sports Cage Radio Roundtable brought to you by A&W Game Day Specials at the 5 Regina, A&W, Davidson, and Moose Jaw locations. $1 from every Mama Burger, by the way, will go to the Rider Foundation. Absolutely terrific. This is the show where we want to hear from you. Wherever you're listening from as well, please let us know where you're listening from. But our hotline, sponsored by Echo Sound, your Sasktel authorized dealer in Fort Capel. Get the newest cell phone today with an amazing cell phone rate plan. And I guess you probably want to know that number. If you're in town, 306-936-6262. That's in town. Out of town, 1-866-767-0620. All right, we've got the Professor Don Hewitt, Wes Cates, all settled in here after that game. Don, you and I were talking a bit about some of the standouts, and I guess we should start with the quarterbacks. They were undoubtedly the players that had a lot of reps up in the game there, and they had some moments that stood out.
Well, I mean, it you have to put it all in perspective, Daniela, obviously. I mean, 28 players didn't dress for Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Most of them significant players, not all, but most of them. I was surprised, to put it in context as well, that Winnipeg didn't play as many starters as I thought is what you usually see in a second exhibition game. But the Bombers provided such a brutal and non-accurate, whatever it was, there wasn't even a depth chart that Ballsy was trying to make sense of. So I didn't really see it coming that they'd have so many backups playing as well. Having said that, and realizing that the game was basically just players trying to make a spot more so than an actual football game, and the final score of 25-16 is absolutely meaningless, it still did boil down to Fine and Dalagala as who's going to be number two at the quarterback position for Saskatchewan. That's what we talked about in the pregame, and that's what we're going to talk about in the postgame. And I thought it was very, very close. And yeah, the one positive, I would say, is when is the last time Saskatchewan had two quarterbacks who looked good, who looked reasonably good as the backup quarterback? They've usually lucky to have one in recent years. They've got two guys that can both play in the CFL, I believe. And I thought that they were really close until Dalagala threw that ill-advised pick at the end of the game where he threw across his body, bad footwork. It was a mental error, you know, in what he did there. But they're very different. I mean, the stats favored Fine a bit because he played a little more, I believe. 13 for 18, 114 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Dalagala, 6 for 10, 70 yards, one touchdown, one pick. But they're different. I mean, Fine is a better nickel and dimer, it looks like. And it looks like Dalagala could score from anywhere in the field.
Absolutely. And being a sideline level on the field, the communication for both of those quarterbacks, Don, you're totally right. It is something to think, hey, we have some possible depth here at that quarterback position. Wes, what did you make of the two standouts? I mean, I don't want to ignore Williams, of course. Yeah, let's talk about
Williams
him, too.
Started off 5 for 5.
Yeah.
He was going pretty good, although he did have that random ball slip, you know what I mean, slipped out of his hand. But, you know, maybe that's just not having as much experience with the CFL bar or something of that nature. Or, you know, the jitters getting to you a little bit. But, yeah, I thought all the quarterbacks made a case as to why, you know, they should be on the roster for sure. So I think all of them have a future going forward, maybe not all with the Riders. But Fine looked good. I mean, it was like a quiet 100 yards and really, like, smooth. And just looked comfortable. You know, I think he had that high ball early that kind of bounced off receiver's hands and got snagged
Roberts,
by the
deep.
Yeah. But other than that, he looked really crisp. Delgado looked tall and strong in the pocket and, you know, and threw some, you know, I mean, flicked some big balls out to the wide sides of the field, you know what I mean? No problem. So, I mean, when you're a coach evaluating those guys, sometimes when it's so close like that, you kind of lean towards the guys that give you the biggest upside, and it might be Delagala. You know what I mean? If he can prove that he can mentally get to where he needs to be and manage games and not have those, you know what I mean, those rushed bad errors like he did on that late pick, I think he might be able to creep up the roster.
Well, here's an issue. Zach Kleros did not play
at
all. So he's not playing at all in the preseason. They believe in him. He's won the last two Grey Cups, and they're going to keep him healthy. So when you look at how close Fine and Delagala are, there is definitely a case that they both got to play in BC, because we know Cody Fajardo is the starter. There's no point in getting him hurt, although I think Coach Craig will want to get some rust off Cody. But I think because of the tightness between these two backups, they both, I would say, have to play a quarter each and try to get it determined and maybe give Cody a half. We'll see what the Rough Riders do, but I think this is a horse race down to the wire.
That's a good point.
Obviously, I think there's probably room for both of them on the roster, but we'll just have to see who ends up at number two, right? So yeah, I think they both definitely need some work, definitely need another opportunity just to see, and then whoever kind of can weather the storm and be the most prepared for this next preseason game with no time to work in between preseason games. I guess we can get into that later. But anyway, the guys look, all things considered, I thought they looked pretty good. I mean, the offense started off a little slow with the turnovers. It really got everybody out of rhythm. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in this next preseason game, you don't have the turnovers. Guys can stay in a little rhythm and you can fully evaluate the guys and kind of have your pecking order set.
Wes Cates, the Professor Don Hewitt, and myself, Daniela Ponticelli, joining you for the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. And I'm very excited to welcome in our first caller, Ryan from Regina, out on the Echo Sound Hotline. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how are you three doing? What a good night to have football back, hey?
Oh, it was great, hey? Like, it wasn't that bad, and I even heard some folks as we were leaving the stadium saying, the wind even died down. It wasn't too bad at the end of it. Were you there, Ryan?
No, I wasn't there. I since I've had children, you know, I listen to the radio games now, and it's nice to hear.
Hey, we appreciate it.
Yeah, Luke's been doing really well, but the new round table, you got Wes Cates there, you got a Professor, and Danielle, you're there. Like, this is the new stuff. Let's do it.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah.
Okay, so just two things real quickly. One, so for like the last 15 years, I think the only jersey I've ever had was the Wes Cates jersey. And Wes, you're my man, like number 20, always going to be there. But I really hope one of you guys knows DeMarcus Christmas a little bit and make sure he's getting into that. Into the game, and like, he's going to sell jerseys like no one's business.
Yeah, everybody loves Christmas, right?
Who doesn't want a Christmas Rider jersey? I don't want to take my Wes Cates jersey away, but a Christmas Rider jersey sounds good. But he's going to make that.
You can rotate him. You can rotate him, right?
Yeah, I always will.
A lot of guys want him to make the team for that very reason.
Mm-hmm. And he did have a big moment in the game, and Ballsy got to have that great call about Christmas and being in there. And I mean, come on, once July rolls around, you're gonna have all the Christmas in July things to say about it too.
Okay, but just my last point just trying to before the half there, Luke on the radio was talking about like one of his biggest issues might have been the right corner, and Ballsy was quickly to say, oh, he's kind of worried about the offensive depth. That was the first half. After the second half, do you guys feel like maybe those are still the two positions that maybe we need to work on, or are we okay in that?
Well, you know, I was really impressed with Nelson Lacumbo. He has great feet, a Canadian playing corner. made a great play in man coverage. And there was some, as Luke said in the post game, there was some talk out of the U of S that he was better in zone than man, but he had great man coverage on that longer ball. And you just at his foot speed.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this guy is a CFL player, and if he can play corner, I mean, they could play him anywhere. If you can play corner and he can hit, you can play anywhere. But I think Lacumbo is going to be, you know, definitely playing football for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But, you know, they had a couple of corners that weren't even playing tonight. So it's much too early to speculate that they have problem at corner, that's for sure.
I want to piggyback very quickly, though, on that coverage, Don. The speed, it's something that I was right there. I was just mere feet away from that. And he was right. He was so quick. So very exciting stuff from Nelson Lacombo. And Wes, what are your thoughts on what Ryan was asking?
Yeah, I think that definitely there's nothing to worry about as far as the secondary is concerned. I don't. They've got some vets back there. They have a good culture. You know what I mean. I think that just the way that their defense is set up. There's just so many guys sitting and some young guys that you could just. I could just see that the nature of the game. Like there was a couple of plays early where just the motion just threw DBs off because you know you're American DB and of course you've been practicing it, but then you're in the game and you know that you have to be ready to make the play or you get burnt, and it's just like, you know what I mean, it was just like guys are flying everywhere in their eyes because they're trying to get to their spot, understand who they might be covering, because with all the motion, you just don't see that as much in the States. So it's a big learning curve for those young guys. So I think the athleticism is there. We definitely saw that, like you guys were talking about earlier. And I think that there's no worry there for sure in the secondary.
No, for sure. You know, it's nice to hear that because even though whether we have like two, maybe three stops on third down, we stopped them at the end, right? Our defense was pumped. Maybe that was because we're at home. But if we can keep doing that, that's just preseason. So let's go, Riders, right? Let's go.
CFL's a big field, man. Yeah. And like once those guys got down in the red zone and they kind of had a little less field to cover and they could let their athleticism take over, they locked things down for the most part. I mean, I think there was a couple of things going on that kind of kept the score closer. You know, we got some timely sacks and some things of that nature. But all in all, I think there was enough there to make some evaluations. But really, just the turnovers and the time of possession that Winnipeg got just threw everybody off.
And ended up with that long drive by Mason Fine.
Yeah.
Amazingly, in the nickel and dime.
Yeah.
Drive, they ended up edging Winnipeg in time of possession, which was crazy. But I mean, there's a case for Mason Fine keeping the Saskatchewan defense off the field,
closer,
possibly.
Right?
But if you take a look at Nick Marshall's, you know, lock for a starting corner position, not playing.
Yeah.
Another guy that I think might start, Roland Milligan, not playing in there. You know, Mike Edom not playing at safety. So, I mean, there are some pretty good secondary players as we were
saying.
Yeah,
you're talking about Moncrief,
playing.
Too. He's another guy that's covering everywhere, right?
Yeah, so. And he's all over the field as the linebacker, as the strong side linebacker.
It was such a good game. It was nice to see fans in the crowd. There was pictures on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And the radio was pumping. Ballsy was rocking for his first gig. You guys were doing great. Let's go all season. I'll talk to you later, okay?
For sure. It, thanks so much, Ryan.
Hey, Wednesday. Number 20 all the time.
I love it. Yes. So Ryan calling from Regina. You can do the same. The hotline, the Echo Sound hotline, brought to you by Echo Sound, your SaskTel authorized dealer in Fort Capel. Get the newest cell phone today with an amazing SaskTel rate plan. The number, if you're in town, 306-936-6262. If you're out of town, on the way out of town, 1-866-767-0620. I'm Daniela Ponticelli, joined by Wes Cates, Don Hewitt. Let's keep talking. We're chatting a lot about the quarterbacks here, but we haven't got to some of the other names that we have on our list, and there is a decent little list. I like it. So would you like to pick up from, Don?
Well, I want to listen to Wes talk about Frankie Hixon from Liberty. Six runs, 47 yards. 7.8 yards a carry, which led the team just slightly ahead of Morrow.
Yeah.
What did you think of Hicks and Wes?
He's rocking the 20 well, I must say. He was looking good out there. He's a little stocky, kind of jitterbug type of guy that runs with some power as well, though. I really like the way he kind of... picked his way, and then when he was getting met with some contact, he was lowering the boom a little bit and taking some guys with him. So he definitely was hitting the creases, definitely not running with any type of tentative nature, and that's kind of what you got to do as a running back, especially when you're trying to crack a squad. And I really like what I saw out of Murrow, the little bit that I did see. I know he cracked off that nice little, it was about a 15-yarder where he kind of, slipped through an arm tackle there and kind of, made something that maybe could have been like a 5-yard run and turned it into, a big first down. And, Pope is the only guy that kind of had an up-and-down game, but even he showed some flashes, right? Cooper looked good to me, too, and I think he's a little bigger than the other guys, so maybe you keep him for some size, but, man, it's tough.
And Pope might have gotten a little boost from, I call it the broadcaster's, magic sometimes, because Mullinder was talking about him, like, not having a good game, then all of a sudden he was dialed in, it seemed, at the very least. But Wes, sorry, just as a little brief departure there, as a player, when in a preseason game having an up and down, can you give us some perspective on that?
It's a tough one, man. Because you know that you didn't do everything wrong, so you're just really hoping that, you're almost going back and trying to evaluate it as if you're the coach, like, did I do enough right to make up for that bad play, or was there something that made me, did somebody else contribute to the fact that I didn't catch that ball or I missed that block or something? All types of things creep into your head, but once it's done, and you just got to go out to the next practice, the next opportunity, and do the best you can. I remember one of the craziest, when I was in the preseason game, one of the dumbest things, and I thought I was going to get cut for it, but me being American, I was in Calgary, I'm on every special teams, I'm learning all these offense positions, I go out on field goal, and I count guys 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Hold up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, crap. There's too many guys on the field. I run off the field thinking I'd done something right. And the Tom Higgins, the head coach at the time, is looking at me like, you idiot. And I'm like, oh, there's 12 men in CFL. So I thought that was going to get me cut. I kid you not. But later in the game, I broke off a couple of runs. Made a couple tackles on kickoff, and I was like, maybe that was enough to
maybe that could
like,
just yeah, fall yeah. In, the, in the background.
And it was, right? So you're always going to get a couple of chances to redeem yourself, right?
There was a too many men call tonight, but it was on the Winnipeg side, thank goodness. Okay, sorry, Don.
I just don't think the Troy Pope will be around. I mean, and partly because Hickson is a heck of a back. I was really impressed with Hickson, and Wes described it best. He knows running backs far better than I did, but he's got pop and he's got power, and he followed his blocks really well, and Hickson has to stay. And, you've got a veteran like Shaq Cooper who could be a returner, and then you got Morrow who's likely starting. Yeah, unfortunately, Pope will likely be gone. And, maybe Cooper will get the return job. They need a returner. Jonathan Johnson had a 52-yard kick return there. He found the corner, and he showed pretty good speed, didn't he?
There's a couple of slow guys kind of chasing him, but it doesn't matter. He still got the edge. That's what it's about. I'm just faster than the guys chasing me. So he did it. He kind of cut back on the kicker and almost broke it. So really impressive.
Very impressive stuff. You're listening to Wes Cates, the Professor Don Hewitt, and myself, Daniela Ponticelli, on the Sports Cage Radio Round Table. We want to hear your thoughts, though. We know you're listening wherever you are joining us from. Thank you for that. The numbers, again, this is important. I need to get this back in my brain, too. The old numbers. One second here. In town, 306-936-6262. Out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Got a great call from Ryan in Regina. Great to hear from you. If you were at the game, let us know your thoughts as well. This is the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, and we'll be right back.
It's The Point After, brought to you by the Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here.
We are back. Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Daniela Ponticelli alongside Wes Cates, Don Hewitt, and we are breaking down this preseason game as best we can. Wes Cates just said it great off air. There were so many bodies out on the sidelines. So many people. We had
too many.
Yeah, we had players doubled up on those numbers. Number 17 for sure. 77, I believe, was also doubled up for the Riders. It was just a huge crowd on the sidelines. Of course, all the vets watching as well as they should. They're there to support their team. They need to be there. On that note, though, so we're going to try to touch on some players that stood out to us. Of course, we want to hear your thoughts, because what we see in here might not be what you see in here. The number in town, by the way, 306-936-6262. Out of town, 1-866-767-0620. That's the Echo Sound hotline we'd love for you to dial in on. So let's dial in now on those receivers and kind of what we thought was going on today.
Yeah, no, it was a little frustrating. I know it had to be frustrating for the players to have that many guys that needed to try to get reps. But I'm going to just say it off the top. My man, Emelis, I only seen him catch one ball, but just the fact that he came back to the ball, he gave a little shoulder shimmy, made the guy miss, you know what I mean, in coverage, and then gave a little hop, skip, almost split too. I'm like, that kid needs the ball. During the season, I'll put money on him right now that he's going to
100%
be a big time player for the Riders.
That hop alone was worth it. That was the little sprinkle we needed.
And that was a 21 yard gain.
Yeah.
And exactly, he did it in style, shall we say. Yeah. I think the Rough Riders
real crisp.
Really wanted him. They thought that he could have gone even higher in the first round. I think they were right.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
He's going to be playing some football. I mean, we talked about Coach Craig saying yesterday on Sports Cage that Chester Weon, I was calling him We on the pregame show, I apologize.
It's W-E-A-H, so
Chester Weon, though, I mean, three catches, 23 yards, and a touchdown. He's a player, too. He's an American.
Oh, yeah.
But when you take a look at him, Schaefer Baker looks as good as ever. And Tevin Jones, number 14, he looked like a slightly smaller Duke Williams out there because he had his old number. He really came back in that game. He ended up with four catches, 30 yards, and longest being 16. He looked good as well. But I think they got a ball player in Weah, don't you guys?
Oh, definitely,
Yeah, I like Weah for sure. Jones, they seemed like they were making an effort to really get him the ball, and he looked really comfortable out there, you know, catching those hitches and those quick screens and just making, you know what I mean, and making guys miss. Like, they really were like, we can get this kid the ball at the line of scrimmage, and he can go get us a first down. If it hadn't have been for that fumble on that first catch, just, you know, a guy getting lucky, kind of poking it out. It's a good technique. He had a pretty flawless game. So, yeah, there's a lot of depth at receiver again this year. They have a lot of good Canadians, too, man. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
And the Ram.
We haven't even had a chance to talk about him
because he's a tough kid. I mean, Riley Boersma got some extra yards down that sidelines out of just sheer toughness.
Yes, and that's exactly how he plays. That's how he plays in U Sports. And when you see him play a full game, pretty much, you get to see more of that. But he had some really great moments. There were also some weak spots,
Maybe one bad play, but the others that I saw, he just looks like he's a baller.
Not a big guy,
but he looks like a baller.
Now, long hair don't care.
He had
it flowing out there.
I got to interview him during his Rams season after making those big plays. They also have the big play chains that they throw on.
Oh, yeah.
So he's rocking the big play chain with the long hair. I'm like, you just look so cool, man. Totally have it. Well, this is, of course, Wes Cates, Don Hewitt, Daniela Ponticelli here, but we are so excited to head out now on the Echo Sound hotline to chat with Dennis in Buffalo, New York. How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing great. Congratulations on getting the job there.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks. Yeah, we're glad to have you on the call-in show. Were you able to listen in?
Yeah, I was able to listen when I can. I was working, so I couldn't watch it on ESPN Plus like I normally would. But I was able to listen. And, hey, Ballsy, if you're listening, you did a great job. Good job there. But here's my question. It's about the new rules, you know, like mm-hmm. two quarterbacks on the field, the hash marks. When we get to the regular season, is this going to help our team or hurt our team? Because I am just – I have no idea how we're going to adjust to it. What do you think?
Okay, well, do you want to start yeah. with the hash marks then, Wes?
Yeah, I think yeah. the hash marks are a good move. I think it just opens up the field. And then, you know, a couple of times we saw where, you know, some guys were able to make plays up the sideline on the short to the short side of the field because they had extra few yards to work with. So I think that's just going to really benefit the offense and keep the defense more honest, especially those like backside secondary and contain defenders. But I'm not really sure either about the double QB, Dennis. I got to see how some quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I got to see how some
like
OCs.
Idea, but I don't just like.
Yeah.
We're going to need, yeah, we're going to need some real in-game examples
yeah, yeah.
and some, because we were talking about this actually during the pregame
yeah,
show
yeah.
about, is it just going to be for the gimmick? Is it just going to be a trick play? Or are we going to see some consistent, you know, plays being made out of that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just don't, I mean, I've seen two quarterbacks on the field, but usually it's a situation where, you know, you try to throw off the defense and have them in a weird package as far as, you know, they're going to have cover guys. If they think they have two quarterbacks there, maybe there's a situation where you have a good running quarterback and you can get some numbers and have smaller defenders on the field to try to run. I just don't understand where two quarterbacks on the field is really going to benefit you.
And well,
you know
one thing,
yeah.
I was going to say, one thing, offensive coordinators, you know, they pride themselves on creativity.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways you could use a second quarterback. I mean,
yeah.
you could put him, you know, slightly behind the line of scrimmage on the sideline, you know, foot
yeah.
off the sideline. And the defense, what are they going to do? So I think they'll be chomping at the bit, the offensive coordinators, to try to come up with something really wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we'll see that this season.
And I think we're going to be saying a lot of why did he run that or why did he try? Why did they waste that drive trying to run that play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah
exactly.
No, we'll see.
I only like the CFL the way it is. I don't want to tinker with it too much. Keep the three downs. Keep the rules. And you know, let's just not tinker with it too much. I don't mind the hash marks idea, but that's just me.
No, that's fair, Dennis. Thanks for sharing that. And before you head out, though, back on that two quarterbacks, Don, you had mentioned earlier today to me about the idea of injuries. And that's something to consider, too. If you're going to put two quarterbacks out on the field at once, are you perhaps playing risky?
Well, that's what Coach Craig said. He said we may not do it too much, you know, because of injury.
Mm.
But, you know, he's not going to admit that they're going to do it anyway.
No, it's going to.
He can't do that. So that, you know, Coach Craig, you can't fool us.
Right.
You know, you just can't fool us.
Well,
he may try something like that. Look, I'm looking forward to something. Dennis is right. Nothing's changing big time in the CFL here in the rules. But
yeah.
I'd like to see something really funny.
The only way I see it being an advantage is if I dress my... You know what I mean? My sixth receiver and say he's a quarterback. You know what I mean? Or something like, I don't know.
Or you could dress your third quarterback as a receiver. I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? You could do whatever.
I don't know. But Dickie, if there's anybody that can come up with some fancy stuff, because I know Dickie is great at coming up with some great wrinkles in the special teams game, I think, you know, I mean, him and Moss could probably come up with some unique ways to use
the
double
QB. I'm really
QB.
Excited for it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. Thanks so much, Dennis in Buffalo, for giving us a call.
All right, take care.
Yeah, you too. And now we're going to head Corey here in Regina. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for hanging on the Echo Sound Hotline for us. What is your take on today's game?
It's actually a pretty good game. I was going to go, but I decided to watch it on TV. I have two questions. What about the Regina boys? Do you think they'll crack? I know one Borsa, but Borsma, do you think he'll crack, or do you think he'll go back to U of R for another year?
Who wants to tackle that question off the hop?
I think he's in contention to hang around with Saskatchewan after what I saw today because I like tough football players. That's why I like Wes Cates. I didn't like myself. Boy, I didn't really play football. Never mind. But I just like tough guys like that. And he's giving it his all. He's showing character. I liked him.
Returning in school? I don't know much about his college. Yeah. So I'm wondering where they can, if they can use him on special teams. But I don't think he's going to be a every down receiver. So then you got to start talking about, will he take a practice roster spot? And then maybe he'll turn that down to go back to I don't know. I just don't, with the depth of the receivers I think he's one of those guys where you pat him on the back, you love him up and say, we really want you to come back next year. You know what I mean? But you're probably better off going back to school.
Yeah, and Coach Mark McConkey was also on the Sports Cage. That's Regina Rams coach. And he was saying, the guys, they're learning and they're just soaking every moment up. So regardless of what happens, obviously they want to make the CFL. They would love to be on the team. But if they were to come back, it's only going to strengthen that program. So that's the other side to it. I feel like either way, you're benefiting football here in the city of Regina. Anything else, Corey?
What about Kyle Borsa? Is that a tough one?
Ooh, I mean, he was looking great at the start of the game. He was pretty much getting everything.
I think he's in there as they're going to play a Canadian tailback, and they need three of them hanging around in Winnipeg. So I would think he's going to hang around Winnipeg as the third Canadian running back because he's on the roster if one of those first two go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess maybe he had a little extra spark because he was back in town doing his thing. But he looked good early. It's weird to me, especially being an American running back, to see a whole roster of Canadian running back. But they're good. They're good.
Yeah, it's been working for Winnipeg. So we'll see.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller on the line. But before we get there, just a reminder of the Wiser's Prize. Two tickets to the June 11th home game. It's going to be so great. Ooh, can't wait. So two tickets to that. We just need to know, of course, the players of the game. That's Ballsy's pick and Luke Mullender's pick. So if you can tell us that, you'll get that prize. Okay, so we're heading over to the Echo Sound hotline now. I believe, is it Sharis? I hope I'm saying your name correct. How are you? How is the game? I hear that you're leaving the stadium, leaving the area.
It's Sharis. It was awesome. It was great to be back in the stadium. We're on our way back down to Bean Fate in Oxbow, so we got a couple hours drive.
That's a decent drive.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys can get us home.
They pay us the big bucks to do, Sharice. Right. We have to get your home or we'll probably be fired. That's why they pay us the big dollars. We got to entertain you.
Make sure you text us when you're home safe, okay? We do really want to hear from you. But thank you so much for giving us a call. Now, what was your takeaway from the game?
I like seeing the quarterbacks. The big, tall, lanky quarterbacks was nice to see. Not sure about their abilities to scramble and run. I don't think we really saw a lot of that, but that's just my opinion. And then my only other question is, when is the next actual cutdown date?
It's actually tomorrow.
Tomorrow. 10 players, right?
Yeah, they have to make a quick move. It'll be the easiest cut they make. Because there'll be 10 obvious cuts there tomorrow.
That's a great question. That's a great point, Sharice. Thank you for reminding. Yeah, tomorrow. And I guess that turnaround might not have been as tight had it not been the game was pushed. I don't know, Don.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have no time to prepare for Friday night's game in BC. Wes and I were talking about that earlier in the evening when we were locked out of the studio due to my own fault. But, they're going to have a walkthrough. And then they're on a plane.
Yeah.
And thinking about it, that's probably a big reason why they sat so many guys is because they really didn't want to have guys playing, two extended games, back to back like that. It reminds me of Labor Day Classic, Calgary versus Edmonton, the Monday Friday swing. And this is a day closer than that, right? So it's kind of
ridiculous.
Don't
forget the best of three Western.
Oh yeah, you're taking us back.
Finals
before my time.
It was Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Woo.
And they'd be so battered, they'd lose the Grey Cup game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, that hopefully that answers your question. So definitely tune into the Sports Cage tomorrow. We'll be covering off all of that and into Friday as well. We're going to be keeping an eye on who made the cut and who didn't and who will get dressed for Friday's game, because obviously lots of veterans who weren't out there. A quick question. Do you happen to know the players of the game?
We were talking about that. I believe the defensive player was Kenny?
Yeah, that's correct. David Kenny, yeah.
And the offense, was it Way?
Ding, ding, ding.
We weren't going to give it to you, but you corrected the pronunciation, so I guess we'll go ahead.
And you know, we didn't get the pronunciation correct earlier either. So, Charisse, you have won two tickets to the June 11th game, courtesy of Wiser Special Blend. Thanks so much for calling in.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
All right, I guess stay on the line for a moment with our producer there. But if you want to call in and tell us your thoughts about this preseason game, first preseason competition at Mosaic Stadium since 2019. The number to call right now, 306, if you're in town anyway, 306-936-6262. And out of town, 1-866-767-0620. We'll be right back with more Sports Cage Rough Rider Radio Round.
Hey, Barry.
We're still going. The longest continuous game day coverage in the CFL just keeps rolling. Have an opinion? Question for the panel? Call or text 306-936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Yes, we are still here talking Saskatchewan Rough Rider football. A great first preseason game. Great by the measure of getting to see so many players take the field, try to make a case for being on the team or on any CFL team. Daniela Ponticelli with you, by the way, alongside the Professor Don Hewitt, Wes Cates. And we are settling in to try to figure out some more of the standouts. Now, one name that came up, and it's an easy name to remember, De Beer.
As far as I know, but I've already butchered his name in the pregame show, so.
It's the start of the season. Everybody's names, you know, guys have like three pronunciations, and they settle on one, get everybody straight. And then if you mess up after, like, you know what I mean, week six, then you're in trouble.
Did anyone mess up your name?
You're gone after that.
Nah, I remember my buddies used to mess with me in college because there was a rival announcer. I think he was just hating on me because he had to know my name, but it sounded like he was calling me Crates.
No.
So like all my buddies were calling me that for the longest time. And then my fullback will still call me Crates sometimes, like when we catch up, because it was just because I ran for like 250 on those guys. Well, and he was calling me Crates the whole time. And they're like, ah.
My guess is the guy's no longer in the business.
Right.
So yeah. De Beer, but we're bringing him up because, Don, you had really good things to say about him in the pregame show. And this is where we break down whether that actually happened.
I hyped the man unbelievably.
Yeah, you did.
In the pregame show. He got he's too light in the butt now, man. You're talking about how he was in all that shape and then he's getting pushed around.
And Wes said that.
Slim 278 or whatever.
You're right. And I was following our leader, Coach Craig, who was saying great things about him. And I was charged up because I know he's a great kid, but I really didn't notice him too much. Who did I notice on defense? How about not too many guys, really, when you think about it? I mean, Winnipeg had 495 yards in total offense, and the Riders gave it up in both ways of passing 301. They gave up 194 yards rushing. And, you know, there's a few notable exceptions. I mean, when they put Lanier and Robertson out there just for a couple of plays, they immediately got a sack.
Yeah.
But I don't think they played more than two or three plays.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Craig and his assistants looked at everybody. They gave everybody a chance, and that's what they should do. because this game means nothing at the end of the day. It means absolutely nothing. It was a nice day to be outside. Yeah. It was one time when I didn't give two hoots about the Oilers and Avs, because when it comes to the Rough Riders, nothing else counts. So anybody that stayed home and watched the hockey game... It's not even close.
Shame on you.
Get the Mosaic Stadium. It's the friggin' Riders.
I did enjoy the moment, though, when Ballsy mentioned that the cumulative points in that Oilers game surpassed what was on the scoreboard at the football.
No, that's true.
That was funny. That was funny, but I agree with you. Nothing else matters. It's all Riders all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like hockey when the Riders aren't playing.
Exactly.
It's great. I love it.
Preseason balls is still means a lot. But, I mean, Wes, obviously, the outcome doesn't matter.
Yeah, there was so many guys. And I think Coach Dickinson touched on it at the beginning. You know, it's not as much about the score. It's just about being able to evaluate guys. I think some, you know, if we were all able to sit here and sit in the coach's meeting with, you know what I mean, kind of be a bug on the wall, we'd see a little more of the good and the bad. And I think Revis, he had a couple of good plays in there. Then you saw him out of position a couple of times. But I liked his bounce and the way he flew around. Kenny, obviously, Luke talked about him earlier. He got upfield one time on like an outside zone play. And, I mean, just basically just gobbled up the running back before he could even really get going. I thought that was impressive. And then, you know, other than that, it just looked like guys were kind of heads spinning a little bit, just not too comfortable. But you saw a lot of athleticism. So hopefully, you know, they can get in their playbooks, have some good meetings. And the guys that get good opportunities in this final preseason game will be able to show up and show out.
Hey, I like that you said head spinning, because the adjustment of the game, let's talk about that, brought to you by your Saskatchewan chiropractors. Gardening should not hurt, okay? Football, sure, but gardening shouldn't. Find a local chiropractor near you at saskchiro.ca. Get back to what you love. See a chiropractor. Let's talk about this. I'm throwing this at you on the spot here, but some moments that stood out, or I guess the moment that stood out for you guys when it comes to some big, big hits and physicality. And there were some good plays.
I'm trying to think. Big hit. You got one, Don?
Well, I think I really like the hit by Herdman Reed, the Canadian middle linebacker. He had a big stick. He did a little dance. I thought it was great. Because, you know, Herdman Reed's a good, tough football player, mainly playing special teams. And he showed that, you know, give me a shot in the middle here and I'm going to plant somebody. And he did. I really thought that was very impressive. I think there was a few big special teams hits as well. There's one in particular, and I tried to make a mental note of who made the big hit on that one kick return, and of course it eludes me at the moment. But there was a couple of good sticks. I think, you know, when your head's a bit on a swivel when you're a young player and you're trying to, you know, lock into the playbook, the one thing that you don't concentrate on as much is getting the big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Because your head is sort of spinning a bit, and when you really know what you're doing and you're reading the play, then you are focusing more on a big hit. So you tend not to see the big hits in with younger players sometimes in preseason games because they got so much else going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Back when I played, we actually really had big hits. So when I see these hits out there now, I don't know if I really want to. No, I'm just kidding. Nah,
Daniela and I mean, we were buying it.
We're just like,
we were buying it for a bit.
This is incredible. This is me on the side. Wow. And then Westgate's like, I've done worse.
I've seen worse.
He did that. It was a good tongue in cheek.
It was very.
He did well. He, you know.
That's
let me give you some marks.
So the adjustment of the game, by the way, if you call in now, tell us your thoughts on the game. Tell us your big moments. You can stand to win a really great prize pack. We're talking $50 gift card to the Rough Rider store, an ice pack, massage ball with exercise card, and so much more. That is brought to you by your Saskatchewan chiropractors. The golf season is short, so don't let pain hold you back from your game. Find a local chiropractor near you at saskchiro.ca. Of course, we want you to call on the Echo Sound Hotline, your SaskTel authorized dealer in Fort Capel. Get the newest cell phone today with an amazing SaskTel rate plan. And the number to call...
I have it right here in town, 306-936-6262, or out of town, toll free, 1-866-767-0620.
You know,
big adjustments.
I was going to say one thing to put in perspective in this ball game, especially in the Rider defensive side of the ball. Right now, as we speak, with Larry Dean likely playing at will linebacker for Micah Tights, and let's just say how awful it is that Micah Tights, who had such a sensational season last year, was the Canadian of the team, and rightfully so, is going to be on the six-game injury list with what seems like a reasonably serious groin hip issue. I just felt awful about Micah Tights getting hurt after season he had. And then he also lost, you know, couldn't play in the Western Final, and they missed him in the Western Final.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what? He could have been the difference with some of the running Winnipeg was doing, because Mike is so good against the run. That's so unfortunate. But having said that, with those linebackers, with Dean Moncrief and Darnell Sankey, man, do Rough Rider fans have something to look forward to.
I can't
recall on any team for many years a linebacking core that should be that good as these three. They will be the dominant linebackers in the CFL without question if they stay healthy.
Yeah.
They are going to fly around, and Darnell Sankey, 245 pounds, can play sideline to sideline. And what John Huffnagel was doing in letting him go, I have no idea what he was doing there, because he's, you know, he's a esteemed and respected general manager. But when Jeremy O'Day got Darnell Sankey from the Calgary Stampeders, that was one of the best offseason moves I've seen the Rough Riders make in a long, long time.
Yep.
Folks, did you watch Darnell Sankey dominate us a few times last year? Well, guess what? He's going to be dominating for us this time.
Yep.
And it's going to be, so much fun to watch. And when you're looking at a game like this today, and you're going to go, oh, hum. Don't worry, this has got nothing to do with what we're going to see ahead.
And fans, by the way, fans will love Darnell. I had a chance to chat with him this week. Just the nicest guy. I mean, I know we say that about a lot of people, but genuinely, this guy's got the biggest heart. And fans are going to absolutely love cheering for him on the field and love talking to him off it.
Yeah, he's a force. I mean, like you were saying, Don, he flies around with a big body. And then linebackers like that, you just don't understand how much, because smart guys that are big and fast can move around. You can blitz them. You can drop them back in the coverage. They're going to make the plays for you. And when quarterbacks have to deal with those type of guys that are playing in the middle of the field, but they're covering everywhere, you feel like you can't even let the ball go, right? Because you're going to turn it over. So I think this linebacking core is going to do a lot to just take the pressure off of the front four and those back guys, those secondary guys. So I think just tightening up this linebacking crew, man, and Moncrief is, I think, one of my favorite players in the CFL, period. Just his ranginess and the way he plays. So if those guys can stay healthy, and the thing with Tights, if the six games, it's almost a good problem to have, because you give some other guys that are quality players some time to get acclimated and get prepared to be good guys that can sub back in there if somebody else goes down, and Tights gets to rest and be a little healthier for the full finish of the season and the, down the stretch. You know what I mean?
So
I think, as long as it's not something that's season ending, you know what I mean? It's kind of, you just chalk it up as, well, he's going to be rested and ready to go, and he's already knows, Jason Shivers' defense. So I think it's not the worst thing that he's out right now.
And I think another really interesting storyline to follow on the Saskatchewan Roughrider defense this year is Charleston Hughes.
Yes.
That is really going to be interesting because he said, I made a mistake leaving Saskatchewan.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's lost a few pounds in training camp. He looked great, and he had a great camp. Mm-hmm. I believe he's 38.
Yes.
I believe.
Years old, yeah.
And Charleston Hughes, forget about that time he had in Calgary. He's a Rider. He's a man in green.
Through and through.
He's come back, and I can't wait to... I mean, I thought at the start, really? They bring Charleston back? Really? Yeah. I changed my mind.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Because he's a man on a mission here in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, he's a good locker room guy, too. He's like one of those vets, a glue guy that seems like he, you know what I mean, can have fun and make anybody comfortable. And he just, you know what I mean, is that type of personality you need in the locker room. And, like, he's a different type of rusher. Like, a lot of guys, you know, get hands-on and, you know what I mean, use their, like, reach. And he's just that quick and that savvy that a lot of times he's getting to the quarterback with barely getting touched because he's just that quick on his feet and understands how to get the old lineman leaning and then he's around you the other way. So I just like seeing him play and his technique and the way he gets upfield. I'm like, yeah, he's the type of guy. If you can get him on your roster, even as just a vet to coach other guys up is worth it.
You know what I mean? His knowledge base to help his teammates is incredible. And I hope that Charleston goes into coaching. I really hope he does because his defensive mind and Wes is exactly right. He's got it down to an exact science on how to rush a quarterback and beat an offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, he's really does. And his body
coaching maybe after we get some more sacks out of him.
Yeah,
hey, does that sound good? All right, you're listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Daniela Ponticelli joined by Wes Cates, the Professor Don Hewitt, and we are still here ready to take your calls on the Echo Sound Hotline, your SaskTel authorized dealer in Fort Capel. Get the newest cell phone today with an amazing SaskTel rate plan. The number to call if you're in town, 306-936-6262, or out of town toll free 1-866-767-0620. We'll be back with more on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Nation, the call is yours. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Call or text 306-936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. This is Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
And we are dancing and grooving. I say we, it's just me, Daniela Ponticelli, Wes Cates, Don Hewitt, nice and composed sitting
here. Two highlighters
here.
In her hand instead of glow sticks over da, here.
Da, Italian da.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. And so do Saskatchewan Rough Riders, by the way. There were two of them out dancing and singing. I love, like, you know, when the fans do the sing-along, a whole bunch of them were just giving it their all. I don't know if that was a way to just maybe stay in the game because a lot of the players were sort of sitting back. What were you like, Wes? Were you one of those players that were just like just hyped the whole time, or did you have your moments of
it
cooling
depended.
Down?
I liked a little bit of fan interaction, like with like I like the way games talking to fans, like you know, because they had the regulars that used to razz you and try to get. But I like chatting them up and talking a little trash to them, and of course you see, you know, your faithfuls that you got to you know do your point. You know how when politicians come out and they're always pointing at people, you're like, you don't know who they're pointing at. You know, no, but you see your buddies in the crowd, you point at them. Maybe if you know, in games like this, when you're a vet, you can slide over to the stands and maybe chat with some folks. And it just helps, you know what I mean? I just think when people see that, it just helps them, you know what I mean, get that much more engaged and like the team that much more. But it's just fun. Fun to have that interaction. Fun to, you know what I mean? It's not fun without the crowd supporting. It's not as much fun. You know what I mean? It's just backyard football unless the fans are there. You know what I mean? So then it turns into a party. It turns into a show. And, you know, you're trying to put on a performance. And it makes it that much more important and special.
And, hey, the fans who were here tonight, very few, from what I could tell, and admittedly, I might not have been able to see everybody, but I thought the folks who came out tonight, they stayed till the end, which is great. It's what you want. So you have a small crowd, but a mighty crowd. And they were loud when those touchdowns happened. They were really, really into it.
You know, it would have been great, as you said, I think, in the pregame show, Daniela, about they had a great idea to have a Rider game on a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then it flipped to the absolute worst scenario for fans
Tuesday,
coming out on a Tuesday work night. And it was too bad for the Rough Riders at the gate, because I think they would have done much better had they played, I believe it was on the 21st, was it, originally in May? And it was just bad luck. But, you know, Wes makes a great point about playing as a professional in front of fans. We saw what it's like without fans during COVID in professional sports events. and it makes you realize how important fans are in sports and how important they are here in Saskatchewan.
Yes.
There is, I mean, we still had some fun in the stands with some of my buddies and tonight. And you just can't have that sitting there on your big screen eating your potato chips, because deep down, you're enjoying yourself, sort of. Get to the ball game and really enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
I feel like you called me out there, Don, a little bit. That's how I used to enjoy my games at home. When,
no,
when
I'm not,
go to
not
the
you at all. I'm calling out, I don't know who.
Everybody
this stadium,
else.
There really isn't a bad seat in the house, man, and it's an awesome place to be. You know what I mean? Maybe we can talk to concessions, see if they can, like, give out some coupons or something, and like, help out with...
And I know it might...
Good luck with that, I think, but I had two very expensive pieces of pizza, I might add.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Exactly, that's all that matters. But it's amazing how those, like, little details about the game, though, like, for me, I know it might not seem like much, but even just seeing Gainer the Gopher back out on his little golf cart or whatever that he goes around and he high-fived people. It just felt so much like how it felt before, because that wasn't there when I was back in the stands for that first game back last season when we could go back, and it just didn't have that same vibe to it. So that was really cool to see that interaction again. And if anyone is watching at home and looks on the sideline, you might notice some face masks being worn. Those rules are still in play for the sidelines. So just so that people at home, if they're watching or if they, you know, see photos and wonder, wait, what's going on? Why are there face masks? That's still a league thing, at least for now. But for the fans, it's all good, right? We're in Saskatchewan. You can come out, enjoy, and just be around other fans that love football. It's pretty great. And speaking of people who love football, huge shout out to Michael Ball tonight. It was so great. I mean, I get to listen to him in my ear the whole night, him and Luke. I just thought they were terrific together, and I know that this was such a big day for him.
Yeah, I mean, you knew Ballsy was good when he was hoarse in the post-game show. That was point one, but luckily, you know, I was in the stands. I didn't hear a lot of his call, but they were replaying his touchdown calls, you know, when I was leaving the stadium over the speaker. He nailed it. His first touchdown call for the first Rider touchdown that he called was fabulous. And there was no doubt about it. He was born to do this job. He's going to deliver big time. He loves the Rough Riders. It's all good. Congratulations, Michael Ball.
Yeah, Ballsy's passionate about the Riders. You know what I mean? He represents the true Rider fan. And I think it comes across, you know what I mean, in his voice and the way he talks about the Riders and the way he does a great job of explaining the game. And you know what I mean? You know, just coming up with the right questions to ask and you know what I mean, the right comments to make. So, yeah, kudos to Ballsy for...
And you know, he made it through, even though he was very honest about his voice kind of getting a little strained.
Yeah.
He hadn't called a full game in 3 years. But I'm thinking, like, man, you're on radio like 7-8 hours a day. And that's just on radio. That's not even when you're just talking to everybody else in your life. So it just shows you, though, how passionate he is. And it's so amazing that he made it through. It sounded great. Absolutely great. Him and Luke, they're always fun. I laughed out loud, by the way, a few times. People must have thought I was nuts. I have my headphones on. I'm just like laughing. Who am I laughing at? The guys. By the way, we want to hear from you. We're still around at least for another hour. Echo Sound Hotline, definitely give us a call. Your SaskTel authorized dealer in Fort Capel. Get the newest cell phone today with an amazing SaskTel rate plan. Those numbers again, if you're in town, 306-936-6262. Out of town, 1-866-767-0620. And hey, we have someone on the Echo Sound Hotline right now, Bennett in Regina. Good evening, Bennett. You're up late with us.
Hello.
Thanks so much for giving us a call. Did you have a chance to take in the game at all today?
Yeah, I was at the game and enjoyed it.
Fantastic. So, do you have a question for us, or just an overall sense of the team and how things are going?
Well, it was just a preseason game, right? So there was a lot of the new guys in and stuff. What I really enjoyed watching was I was sitting behind the Rider bench and watching like Cody Fajardo and some of the other veteran guys that weren't playing in the game walking up and down the sideline hyping up every guy that came off and made a good play or just, you know, getting the team going and stuff. So I thought that was just cool veteran leadership. I enjoyed watching the guys get into it.
That was really neat. It was really cool to see. And they were all smiling. They were having a great time too, hey?
Yeah, everyone was having a blast. Like, the defense did amazing throughout the game. Couple great stops in the red zone, and so they all were coming off just fired up, and just everyone was having a blast in the sideline.
Yeah, and then what was the mood like in the crowd? Like, obviously you were sitting there, you're around some other fans. You know, how were the fans kind of reacting to this?
I don't know. It was pretty tamed, just as Regina fans go. But it was also there wasn't too many people in the crowd for the first game of the season, the first preseason game, right? So it was just a pretty chill, relaxed kind of atmosphere.
Chill, relaxed. Now, Don had pizza. Did you eat anything that was noteworthy?
I did. I had a bacon mac and cheese hot dog.
Wow. Sounds good, Bennett.
Sounds expensive.
It wasn't good.
you know, no. Bennett makes a good point. Mm-hmm. Bennett, you made a really good point that we sort of missed. We haven't said all that great of things necessarily about the defense. We did miss what you just said, Bennett. Mm-hmm. They did have some really good stops, in the red zone and stops close to the goal line. They did make some big plays, and we failed to say that. So thank you for reminding us of that, Bennett, because they did.
Yeah, it kept us in. It kept it respectable.
Exactly. Yeah, that score, which, again, doesn't matter, but that score would have looked very different. Thank you so much, Bennett, as well. You are taking home a great prize pack, by the way, for your call. $50 Rider gift card along with an ice pack, a massage ball with exercise card, and a whole bunch more. Thank you so much for your call. That prize pack, by the way, brought to you by your Saskatchewan chiropractors. Get back to what you love. Don't let pain keep you from enjoying the summer. Find a local chiropractor near you at saskchiro.ca. Thanks so much, Bennett.
Amazing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, have a great night. And you can call in just like Bennett did. The number in town, 306-936-6262, or toll-free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. I'm Daniela Ponticelli, joined by Wes Cates. Don, we are going to talk about that defense a little bit more after the break. And, of course, tee up this season that is happening. We have one more preseason game. That's a very tight turnaround on Friday. But then after that, we are diving right in. Road to the Grey Cup back at home? ? Lots to talk about there. You're listening to Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan.
Have a fresh perspective on today's game? The lines are open. Call or text now, 306-936-6262, or toll free, 1-866-767-0620. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Yes, the lines are open, and we are still up with you, Rider Nation, after the first preseason game of 2022. Daniela Ponticelli alongside the Professor Don Hewitt and Wes Cates, and we started, well, I say early, but the way that we always start the pre-game shows, 3 hours before kickoff, and then we stay with you until late into the evening. We want to hear from you. The Echo Sound Hotline is open and ready for your calls. That is Echo Sound, your SaskTel authorized dealer in Fort Capel. Get the newest cell phone today with an amazing SaskTel rate plan. The number in town, 306-936-6262, or out of town, toll free, 1-866-767-0620. We are on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network, so big thank you to all our affiliates who are carrying this post-game show for you. And I do believe we have someone out on the hotline now, Carlene from Moose Jaw. Oh, I love Moose Jaw. How are you, Carlene?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing very well. Thanks so much for your call. Were you at the game tonight, or were you listening in?
No, I gave my tickets to my nephews.
Well, that's nice. Did they at least call you and tell you how they enjoyed it?
Oh, yes. Yes, we FaceTimed, but yeah, they were very excited. But it's just so nice to hear a lady's voice on this. Oh. I'm going to miss Ballsy.
Oh, I mean, you get to have him during the game now, though. Did you tune in? Did you hear his call?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, he was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think, Carlene, yeah, you've been a longtime fan of Ballsy, because I've listened to you talk to Ballsy many times. But that's okay, because Daniela's here now, and you can talk to her, too.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe we should get, like, a Ballsy, like, soundboard, you know what I mean? Where we can just sort of hit a button, and then we get a catchphrase from him every... I'm going to try to set that up for the future.
Daniela, you got to start getting a rant prepared.
I know.
Ballsy has a rant, like, even when he doesn't have a rant, into a rant.
I know.
At some point.
You're totally right, Wes. I dropped the ball on that. But Carly, great to have you on the line. Can you tell us a moment from today? Were you able to sort of, did something stand out to you from today?
Yeah, the one quarterback there, the 6'7", DeLago or something.
Yeah, Dalagala. Oh, am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, Dalagala, okay, good. As far as I know.
Yeah, Dalagala. Yeah, he is very tall, not 6'11", as previously reported.
Is anybody, he's a tall stretch of water, whatever that saying is.
Tall drink of water.
Tall drink, okay.
I like tall stretch.
I know I was saying something wrong there.
So Carly, you said that you were pretty impressed by him?
What an arm. Like, when said he could throw it like a bullet. Oh my God, sometimes I couldn't even see him throwing the ball, like all of a sudden it was just gone. And then the one running back, remember his name now.
Hickson?
No.
Cooper?
Hickson, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Very impressed with him. What is he, 5'8"?
Yeah, 5'8". I'm not sure how much he weighs, but he has 6'47", so that's a nice average you got
going
there.
Well, the big news about Frankie Hickson, really, Carlene, for me, and I think Daniela can say the same thing, it's not easy to get the West Cates seal of approval as a running back, and he got it.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. He
and
had
his,
a good
and
game.
And his name isn't even Wesley. That's the thing that's really cool. His name's
He is wearing 20 right now. Though,
that's
so if
true.
He sticks with it. I almost have to.
There might be trouble here.
Yeah, I know.
I think the pressure would be on him to be that standout every single time. Well, that's great, Carlene. Thank you so much for your input on some of the players. And for that, we are going to give you a wonderful prize pack. By the way, $50 to Prairie Meats.
No.
Yes, yes.
No. Nobody ever has given me anything on this show.
See what happens when Ballsy leaves, Carlene? You know, you get gifts.
I swear there was no...
That's awesome.
So, yes, you get a $50 gift card to Prairie Meats. That's brought to you by Sask Pork, working on behalf of Saskatchewan hog producers and our community. Thanks so much for your call. Did you have a final thought? I mean, we can still have you on the line here. Did you have another last thought before we let you go?
Yeah. Well, thank you, and I just can't wait to talk to you again. It's so nice to talk to a female.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Carlene. I appreciate that very much.
Stay on the line, Carlene, too.
Yes, great point, okay. Don. Yeah, stay on the line so we can get
talk
that to you.
Talk to Carson, okay.
And that tees up our next segment, the Hoggy of the Game, of course, brought to you by Sask Pork. Perfect pork, our passion, our promise. Learn more at saskpork.com. This was someone we sort of picked early on, and we actually haven't spoken about him in a little while, but he, of course, made a big impact on the game for Saskatchewan, one of the two quarterbacks.
Is that Hoggy?
No,
he's a Hoggy lineman.
Yeah, we're going hot line. See, that's the problem,
brain.
Though. Yeah, that was the problem. The O-line, we really didn't see, you know.
We're
there wasn't anybody really pancaking anybody. There was a couple of blitzes missed. So we're kind of feeling like, and we were told that Hoggy could be a defensive lineman as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of just, we're rolling with.
Well, what about if we just give it to Christmas and say, Merry Christmas. Yeah, why don't we just give her to Christmas?
I was thinking to Marcus Christmas, not only because of the great name, but that he did have a huge tackle. That was great.
That would be maybe my big hit choice.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I think we're settling.
Yeah.
We're finding common ground.
It took us a while to get here.
We got a hoggy. Yeah, we have a hoggy. And it's not a quarterback. Oh, my goodness.
He's not even on the offensive side of the ball. We are looking for... Don't worry, O lineman, if you're listening. We're going to get you some love.
Oh, yeah.
There just wasn't enough. We didn't see enough this week. It was rough.
I guess, what's today? May 31st?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Christmas in May.
There you go.
Yeah, for everybody.
We're just changing everything up.
We want Christmas on the team in some capacity.
Yes, we do.
I think everybody does.
Think of the lines we could think up.
Yeah. If you could make anything off of your namesake, hey, that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm too tired now to think of a good Christmas joke. I'm trying to get my brain working, but I know lots will come if he sticks around.
So I was getting confused between our hoggy of the game and just a player of the game, of course, Mason Fine, who we had talked about before, and we've talked about him in great depth as well. But overall, it was an exciting game today. The future, I think, looks quite bright. And I mean, it has to, because we didn't even get a chance to see some of the vets play who will be playing in the regular season. And we will be back with more Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Cooperators, Rough Rider Radio Network.
Conditions apply.
We're still going. The longest continuous game day coverage in the CFL just keeps rolling. Have an opinion? Question for the panel? Call or text 306-936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Daniela Ponticelli, Wes Gates, Don Hewitt here. We're going to take you all the way home wherever you are driving. Charisse, if you're still listening, we still got you. We're going to take you home all the way to Bean Fate, Oxbow. Bean Fate is a great place, by the way. I've had a chance to go down there. I actually went down there to meet some Saskatchewan Rush fans because they drive all the way to Saskatoon. So that's... I'm going to... probably get the hours wrong. I think it's a 6-hour drive one way. So, I mean, it's a drive to Regina. It's a drive to Saskatoon, but great sports fans out in Bean Fate. Thanks so much for listening. You can call in. We are still here. We will take your calls on the Echo Sound Hotline, your SaskTel authorized dealer in Fort Capel. The newest cell phone, by the way, you can get it today with an amazing SaskTel rate plan. The number to call, my lovely handwritten notes here, in town, 306-936-6262. Out of town, toll free, 1-866-767-0620. And I know we're going to move on from this game, guys, but let's finish off with the moment of the game. A big, big deal. We will get to share the keg size moment of the game brought to you by The Keg. Locations in Regina and Saskatoon. You can book your reservation today at thekeg.com. Doesn't sound too bad. I don't know if I can handle a steak at this hour.
No, not right now. You might have to get an appy.
I'll have to book that reservation for tomorrow, maybe. That sounds pretty good. But the moment of the game was also pretty juicy. It was a fantastic touchdown by none other than, I'll let Don say the name.
Chester Weah. And because Ballsy called his first ever CFL game,
yes,
we will announce that due to technical difficulties on his first game, we do not have the actual call. Yeah. But if you can just sort of conjure up how good it sounded in your memory, it will have to suffice.
Yeah, yeah. You heard the first time was enough.
It was a beautiful call.
It was so good. That's all you got.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta.
It was beautiful. It was in the highlights, the original highlights pack for sure that ran in the fifth quarter show. So that is our moment of the game. Something special for Rider fans. And again, I can't get over how great the fans who were there tonight. Sure, it was a smaller crowd, but everyone was on their feet and people were getting hyped up with great defensive plays. I don't even think we even talk about Pete Robertson's big sack, right? It was him who got the sack.
Well, I think Robertson and Lanier went out for two plays and got a sack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they pretty much met at the quarterback, right?
Yeah, they met at the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
So it's another example of you didn't see, that wasn't the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You didn't see the Saskatchewan Roughriders necessarily tonight. You saw a lot of Saskatchewan Roughrider uniforms. You saw a lot of Saskatchewan Roughrider helmets. But you didn't actually see a lot of Saskatchewan Roughriders. And that's what preseason games are all about, because look at what we saw. You know, in Hixon, for example.
Yeah.
That's what this game's all about.
Yeah.
A guy like Hixon gets a chance and makes the most of it. And this guy can play running back in the CFL. There's no question about it. So that's what you get out of all of this.
Yeah.
And it's worth it, because you get a couple of diamonds in the rough and you enjoy watching them play football for the rest of the season.
I think if you're questioning why the Riders picked the receiver first in the draft, I think Emulus sold you a little bit of the reason why, right? You know? Because he's definitely, I mean, from what I saw, he's a kid that's ready to play right now.
Yep. Yeah. Do you think we'll see? Well, we'll see if we see him on Friday.
Yeah.
I guess will be the biggest thing.
Of course, I think we'll see him some.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I think so.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much. There's a lot of receivers that need to get some action.
I mean, one of the big questions that we're all going to be talking about is, you know, can Cody, you know, regenerate the chemistry that he had in 2019 with Shock?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be a huge issue.
You'd think
for how this football team does, if they can get the football to Shock Evans.
I'm feeling like Duke might have taken over that role. I think he probably did.
But we still need Shock, because we saw in the Western Final what happened when they never threw him the ball and he never got him the ball. Well, they lost.
I will say this was just like a little aside moment, but it was Fajardo and Shaq Evans who walked out together today, and they were smiling and chatting.
That's good.
And it was just a moment that went, that's good.
A little inside
scoop, right?
A little sideline. That was a nice little tidbit there, Danielle. I like that.
That's nice that you noticed that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think they're making an effort to repair whatever happened after that West Final, and Cody was the one that did it. He went over and wanted to talk to Shaq right away about it. And, you know, and Wes can relate to this. At the end of the game, he didn't even realize he hadn't thrown the ball to Shaq.
Oh.
Because you get into the game so deeply. You can lose track of that as a quarterback.
Yeah, I think the CFL's kind of shifted in my opinion. I remember when I first got into the league, that boundary, that short side outside receiver that was usually American was like a go-to guy, and that was who he was for Cody in 2019, right? And now it seems like the slots are getting a little more love and action and getting the ball worked to them a little more. So I really do like, though, that when you need a completion, you need a first down, you go to that short side of the field and let your best receiver work against, even if it's their best DB. If you and the quarterback as the receiver have a connection, it shouldn't matter who's out there covering. You guys should be able to go get the yards you need and complete them. And I feel like Shaq and Cody had that a few years ago. And, you know, to get that back and then to have a guy like Duke and then to sprinkle in a little bit of chafe and bake and Emulus, you know what I mean?
I think.
It looks good. I mean,
there's a lot to look forward to, Ryder fans.
There were times in 2019 when Shaq Evans' crossing routes with Cody were pretty much unstoppable.
Yeah.
They had their timing down, and I just did not see any of that sort of timing necessarily on the Saskatchewan offense with those, you know, really tight crossing routes last year, as we saw at times in 2019.
Yeah.
So producer Colson, by the way, saying 16 receivers on the Riders box score. That's the note. So that tells you. And we have a caller. Chili Willie. Am I saying that right? Chili Willie from Regina.
Yeah, you're saying that right. Good evening, Roundtable.
Good evening.
Chili Willie, what's up?
How are you?
Hey.
How'd you get that name?
Well, that was Willie is my real name, but okay. Chili Willie is because I was married to a beautiful Mexican woman for about 12 years, and she gave me that nickname. God bless her.
Oh, okay. You know what? I was going to ask you for some hot fudge on the Sunday.
Well, you know, I'm not always proud to say this, but she always bragged and told everybody that I was her hot jalapeno, you know.
Wow, okay. Getting spicy late at night here.
Yeah, a little spicy.
A little bit.
Listen, I'm going to challenge all three of you, but first of all, before I do, with a little question, a couple questions here, one for each of you. Danielle, okay. I want to welcome you, and I just think it's awesome that we have a female finally in the broadcast booth.
Oh,
I've been following
you.
The Riders for 50 plus seasons. I started out as a whole, not in the whole gang, you know, checking out the games back in 1970 and 71 through the old wooden wall they used to have behind the old scoreboard in the north end zone before I could afford the 25 cents to sit in the kid zone back in 1972.
Wow. Yeah. Chili Willie.
But, yeah,
good
but,
for you.
Man.
But listen, again, I want to welcome you, and I really appreciate your voice. You know, I've never met you before, but one thing I want to compliment you and tell you is it sounds like you're smiling all the time when you're broadcasting as compared to the former host. Old Ballsy,
he
always did have a rant. It was like somebody put two burrs in his underwear before he went in the radio station. He was always growly and grumpy about something. That's great passion, weird.
But his rants are so great. His rants make me laugh, though.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. But Danielle, you come across on your radio voice as somebody who is smiling all the time, so what a breath of fresh air to the
thanks.
Rider Nation. Thank you.
Yeah, the only time she's not smiling is when me or Don mess up.
She no.
And then she gives us a dirty look.
Well, the professor, for Don, I think it's a little late past his bedtime, isn't it? Like, for a fella who's long in the tooth there, I would have thought he would have been in bed with his hot chocolate after.
Listen, Chili Willie, you're talking about a 25-cent ticket. You're no spring chicken yourself, Chili Willie.
Hey, listen, I still have my first Grey Cup ticket, 1972, $13, and that included the tax at Iverwind Stadium.
Wow, that's cool.
The Riders lose the game on a last-second field goal by an 18-year-old rookie named Ian Sunter, who kicked the ball to win 13-10.
Against the wind, against the stiff wind of all things.
Against
too,
the stiff wind.
Chili
and
Willie.
It was the last game that was ever played in December until last year's Grey Cup.
Can I ask you a question? Was that, you know, game in Hamilton, was it chilly?
Oh, it was cold.
That was a joke,
cold.
Right?
Yeah.
A bad one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chili.
Yeah. It was definitely cold. So, Danielle, as you're new, I'm going to ask you this trivia question tonight.
Oh, gosh.
Who was the original Gainer Gopher when Gainer Gopher started back in, I believe it was 1977? We might have to ask a historian, but do you know who the original Gainer Gopher was?
Chili Willie,
why did you have to do this?
Danielle, do you know who it was?
Wait, was it Don? No.
It was Don, the Professor Hewitt, was the original Gainer the Gopher.
Is it really? Don Hewitt?
No comment, but Chili Willie, you know a lot of history. I will
this
say
is
that.
Impressive.
I will say
exactly.
Thank you for giving me the hint there, Don. I looked at you, and I was like, oh my gosh, the way he's reacting, it had to have been him.
All right, well, so Don Hewitt, he was the professor he is, 1975?
Yeah, it was 77, Chili.
No. 75 is when you started with CTV, did you not?
Yes. How did you know all of it?
Jeez.
46 years. I'm from Regina, born and raised.
Okay, well, just 40, a little over 45. But Chili Willie, good for you. I mean, because I'm...
So if you're the professor, I'm going to give you, and you know, we always have these defensive battles. What is the all-time lowest scoring football game in CFL history?
Oh, Chili Willie, I think you've got me. Lowest scoring CFL football game in history. You got me. Go ahead.
1-0 1-0
I was going to guess that, okay.
The winner was Montreal. The Montreal Alouettes played the Ottawa Rough Riders, and it was the last regular season of the 1966 game before they went into the playoffs in 1966. And we all know who won the Grey Cup that year.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's a Chili Willy. That's a good one.
And I mean, I like that you said Montreal won. I don't think anyone won that.
That was one game in CFL history. 1-0 Yeah.
Like, what did you have to do to not score? Wow.
There actually was one other 1-0 game. I believe it was Winnipeg beat Calgary 1-0 in 1949.
There must have been some weather.
I
love these crazy trivia stats.
Oh, we love it too. Thanks for this late night. You're testing our brains right now as they're trying to shut down. And Wes still needs a question.
Yeah. A couple people. You saved a couple people from hitting the ditch right there.
Yeah. Chili really woke us all up.
You missed that one there, Don. So I'll give you one more.
Okay.
I'll throw you a big old meaty, like when softball, a big old meatball for you to knock it out of the park on this one. Done. Who was the MOP of the 1965 season?
65. In the CFL. Oh, wow.
His rookie year, too.
65.
None other than the Saskatchewan Rough Riders own number 34, George Reed. Mm. Okay. Most outstanding player, 1965.
You're right, because he played a few games in 64, I believe, but didn't qualify.
That's correct.
As the rookie. Okay.
So I'll throw one now at Wes Cates.
These are some tough ones. I ain't going to lie there. Let's see what you got.
The best rider running back in rider history for your all-around talents of not only carrying the ball, catching the ball, but your blocking talents as well.
Appreciate that.
Was that a question?
No, we're done. We're done. All right, show's over.
That was a comment. So for Wes, who had, or, you know, I guess I could give you the who had the most rushing yards in one season for the Riders, and how many yards was it? Because you're a former alumni.
The most?
Rushing yards in one season.
In one season. Was it... I mean, if it wasn't George,
it might be.
I know Robert Mims won the rushing title.
I can hear you on the radio just squirming in your seat, Kate. Well, let me give it to you. It was that same 1965 season. It was Mr. George Reed. He had 1,768 yards that season.
Okay.
Well, I'll give that to you. I said if it's not George, then it might be Robert, right? So
all right. I'll throw you
half a point, right?
Wes, I'll throw you a big meatball then for you.
So many meatballs.
We're not doing well with our meatballs, Chili Willy.
What was the most yards Wes Cates got in one season?
Oh, that's crazy. 1,200. What was it? 1,200 and something. I just don't remember.
1229. The record book says 1229. Yeah.
Wes Cates couldn't even answer his own trivia question.
And I missed four games.
I appreciate you guys,
your time, but here's my one rant. I am 60 years old now, this year, and I have been following this team for 50-plus seasons in the CFL, and I do not watch the NFL for at least the last 25 years. There's no comparison. The excitement of the game. I'm a diehard CFL fan through and through. But who came up with the brainstorm of changing the penalty flag to that putrid amber yellow color instead of the neon orange?
I don't know. I noticed that today. I mean, that's just something new. I have no idea. I don't know.
It's horrible.
How is it going to look against snow, too? Snow in a playoff game.
Somebody gave the explanation that they changed it so that it looked more like, you know, so it wouldn't confuse the players. It was more like the NFL. Who cares about the NFL? Just like we want to continue to be three downs, not four downs, give us back our orange flag. I mean, for people who have vision issues, it's like driving a car. What if all of a sudden they changed all the streetlights from red, yellow, and green to purple, blue, and orange? I mean, we would all be kind of lost and confused.
I don't get what the importance or what reason they would have for that. Because yeah. I noticed it right away, too, now that I don't like that either, Chili Willy.
What's the reason?
I don't get it.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like a waste of money.
Well, supposedly a couple of commenters said, like in comments that I saw when somebody posted it after the first CFL exhibition game, when we saw it on TV last week, was that it was so that our penalty flags were identical to the NFL flags, that yellow color. I mean, again, who cares what the NFL does?
We'll try to get you an answer. Okay.
Supposedly changed the hats on the referees and the umpires too, so that it used to be the referee wore a black hat. Now he wears, like the NFL, a white hat, while all the other umpires, referees, wear the black hat.
Well, that might be because they do some exchanges. Maybe that's the reason for that. They do some officials exchanges on occasion.
If they might have done just a little bit of consultation, I think we could have kept it neon orange. That's my rant.
I mean, orange is my favorite color, so.
Yeah. On a person,
yeah.
I think we need Chili Willy on a warm line or something, man. We need to get you calling in.
Chili Willy, we were struggling to fill time, and you just solved our problem.
You were such a gift. Such a gift.
I will say this as a last comment. I did enjoy, though, as a young lad, following the Riders and going out to the old Regina exhibition, the racetrack, where the locker rooms used to be on the exhibition grounds there, where the new stadium is. But with George and Ronnie and all the guys there, there would be three or four of us that would ride our bikes after school just so that we could catch some of the shank punts from Al Ford, and Ronnie Lancaster would toss us the ball every once in a while, and George Weed would be running around the track and hand the football off. So that's the era that I come from as an 8 or 9 year old following the Riders. That's where my passion is.
Great memories.
Yeah. Wonderful. Absolutely.
Thank you all.
Thank you for your time tonight.
Go Riders, go, and let's hope that this season works out. The Dolagala fella, though, he looked really, really good. He looked really sharp.
Yeah, and coming from a lifelong Rider fan, that means a lot. Thank you so much, Chili Willy, for your trivia and everything.
Have a good night, folks.
You too. Take care. I don't think Chili Willy's going to bed anytime soon. He sounds like he's ready to party on a Tuesday night. But big, big thanks to him for joining us on the Echo Sound Hotline. We are going to take a very quick break, but we'll be back to wrap things up here on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Wes Cates.
No, isn't it Crates? It's Wes Crates, I thought.
So many names going on today. Wes Cates.
People running around town calling me Crates.
Don Hewitt and Daniela Fonticelli. We'll be right back on the Cooperators Rough Riders Radio.
Have a fresh perspective on today's game? The lines are open. Call or text now, 306-936-6262, or toll free, 1-866-767-0620. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Just past midnight, and we have one football game done on the 2022 season, the first preseason game since 2019 at Mosaic Stadium. The Bombers falling, or rather the Riders falling to the Bombers, but at the end of the day, the score doesn't matter. It's all about how the players showed up, and we've talked about some of those big names. The quarterbacks as well, two of them standing out, Mason Fine and Jake Dolagala. Jake.
Like his name.
I don't know why I had Jackson, Jonathan, all these other names rolling around in my head, but Jake Dolagala, who's 6'7".
He definitely looks the part. Yes.
Yeah.
We've so had composed. A couple people call in, and yeah, that's the thing, man. Size and that quick release for a big guy to have a quick release. That's gonna look real enticing if other quarterbacks start struggling.
Mm-hmm. It's a heck of a race between Fine and Jake. I mean, it really is, and that's why I think they both need to play a quarter in BC. It's a huge decision as to who's the second quarterback. It can mean, you know, a win versus a loss. So they have to be very sure, and I don't think you can be totally sure after that this game. I certainly did, to go back to Fine. He had a great drive. Long drive for a touchdown. That was very impressive as well.
Yeah, that 8 o'clock, big time. That was huge. And the other part of it, too, is that, you know, Mason Fine wanted to come out and play his game, and I think he did. I think that there were moments of that, which is really cool as well to see for the guys. Now, we mentioned BC. That is the next opponent, the Lions, on Friday. Super quick turnaround. We're breaking things down. We're already into Wednesday right now, technically, across that midnight mark. So Wednesday today, and they play Friday. Do you remember what those were like? Like, I mean, that's not soon. Very soon.
Too soon. I mean, it's probably for the players, it's not. It's almost a good thing because you're looking at it like, oh, sweet, we don't have a bunch of practices and two-a-days and times. It's kind of like, well, we're getting evaluated. We're going to rest, jog tomorrow, try to feel a little better. Going to watch tons of film. Personally, they need to get into their playbooks, but they're going to have plenty of meetings, you know what I mean, Thursday and Wednesday. And then, you know, just get... It's all about mental preparation. There is no physical preparation. There might be a couple of guys that are nicked up that maybe they get a couple of days with the trainers to help get to closer to 100%. But, yeah, you're just really just taking a bunch of mental reps and getting in that playbook and having the meetings to come out and, put your best foot forward on Friday.
Mm-hmm. And Don?
Yeah, I mean, there's no time at all. I mean, it's crazy. The coaches are probably looking at film right now.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're working late. We think you folks, hopefully you're listening in, are listening late. Coaches probably might be going another few hours.
Yeah.
To take a look at what's going on, probably packing in around 2 a.m. That's the coach's life. At this time of year, the coaches work very long hours. They don't want to make a mistake on a player decision.
And
it takes a lot of film study to ensure that or give you the best odds of not making an error.
And a reminder, 10 players will be cut by tomorrow, right? Or today, I guess, Wednesday.
Yeah.
We're talking about how quick a turnaround. And Don, you said earlier, this is actually going to be the easiest cut to make, these 10.
It'll be obvious, eh, Wes?
Yeah, I think so. There might be a couple of guys where you look at it like, man, we wish we would have had a little more time to give him a chance, but he hasn't shown us enough, and we know we want to see these other guys, so we got to let him go. And then it comes down to numbers. Like, a lot of times, you know, a guy is good enough to be on the team, but the way you're structuring your team, where your Canadians are going to be, you know, he just might not fit into the way you're breaking down your numbers as far as the ratio goes, and that helps you make a couple of cuts as well.
Yeah, and when we say easy, I don't think that necessarily means it's thoughtless, you know, or that it's just a quick little cut. Obviously, there's a lot of thought that goes into this. There was supposed to be more time between games initially. We're supposed to be playing that May-long weekend we played today, and a beautiful night for football. So, hey, at least Mother Nature turned out for us. I was windy as all get out getting into the game. I felt for those parking attendants, who, by the way, do a great job out there. Everybody who works at the stadium does a phenomenal job, but they were trying to wrangle pylons and cones. Talk about just dealing with the uncontrollables when it comes to weather. But that's Saskatchewan for you. Ended up being a beautiful night overall. So I'll leave a little bit of space since we have some time to say goodbye here for the two of you. For Friday's game, we, of course, will be back on the pre-show, the countdown to kickoff. We will be in studio for that, for this away game. The kickoff is 8 o'clock because we're out on the West Coast. So a little bit of a later night, but it is Friday. So come hang out with us. Pre-game show kicks off at 5. Am I doing my math correct? Yes, I'm doing my math correct. Pre-game show kicks off at 5. So as we bid farewell to everyone on the show today, what would you two like to say as your goodbyes?
And we're just getting started, you know. Hey, folks, call in. We love hearing from you, love talking to you. And, we're just getting rolling, so we're excited. Daniela's the new, you know, captain of the ship, and great first night.
This was my preseason.
Proud of you.
This was my interview.
So, let's have some fun this year. Let's
You're passed, you're all done. And by the way, In minor news, the CFL Board of Directors yesterday did ratify the CBA officially. So it's a done deal. And we have, football for 7 years. They may do some tweaks in five when they, do the new TSN contract. But, yeah, we have nothing but football now. And the CFL has to build up from where they are now.
Yeah, this has got to be a bounce back year for the league. Yeah.
And we can talk about that, maybe on Friday in the pregame show. But it has to be bounced back. And I think it will be. I think it can be. And, I think we're going to have an exciting season in the CFL and an exciting season in Saskatchewan.
And remember, yes, at the end of it all, we're hosting Grey Cup. We get to have a week-long party here in Rider Nation. Thank you so much to everyone listening on our affiliate station, staying up late with us wherever you are. We hope you get home safe. Thank you for listening to Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. I'm Daniela Ponticelli with Wes Cates, the Professor Don Hewitt. Again, we will be back Friday with you. And this is, again, Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.